Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is the founder of the Harmony Project in Los Angeles, which began with an idea that music could be a more powerful social tool than gangs in the city's toughest and poverty-ridden neighborhoods. Now in its 14th year, Harmony Project now serves 2,000 low-income children each year with tuition-free group and private music lessons, full-time youth organizations and student groups, while increasing test scores and graduation rates for the participating members. Dr. Margaret Martin is the founder of Harmony Project and is now the Director of Advocacy and Research for the organization. With a doctorate in public health, Martin has always made measurable research a part of Harmony Project, and the research is impressive. Findings suggest that early music training helps remodel the child's brain, so to speak, and significantly improves cognitive functioning, especially in language processing and reading. And all of those changes in the brain function carry over to the classroom. Harmony Project has now expanded to a number of communities, including Tulsa. The Tulsa Harmony Project, based out of Kendall Whittier Elementary, is now celebrating its first anniversary and will branch out from an educational outreach of the Tulsa Symphony to a separate 501c3 with plans to serve more low-income neighborhoods. Martin is currently visiting the Harmony Project Tulsa, and she's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Margaret Martin, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Rich.
You're here to celebrate Harmony Project Tulsa's first anniversary and its spinoff into a separate 501c3. But take us back to the beginning. How did Harmony Project begin out in Los Angeles?
Well, Rich, I was at a farmer's market on a Sunday morning, and their tiny kid was playing Brahms on a tiny violin. And through the market comes this posse of Los Angeles gang members, shaved heads, tattoos, oversized clothing. They stopped in front of the kid. After 5 or 6 minutes without saying a word to one another, I watched those gang members pull out their own money and lay it gently in the child's case. I was at UCLA at the time, completing a doctorate in public health focused on what it takes to make a healthy community. And those gang members were teaching me that they would rather be doing what that child was doing than what they were doing, but they never had the chance.
Mm. And out of that, how did you get it started? I mean, it must have been an uphill battle at that point. I mean, the public schools in Los Angeles were, you know, under siege in many ways.
Well,
financially,
sure, they have been. We started with 36 extremely disadvantaged kids and a small band of intrepid, optimistic founding board members, and one $9,000 check from Rotary Club of Hollywood. 8 years later, I was at the White House receiving the highest honor in the nation for an arts-based youth program from Michelle Obama. And 2 years after that, we received the Presidential Citizens Medal. We've been vetted by the White House twice. Today, we've got 2,000 kids playing in bands and orchestras across L.A.'s highest crime gang zones. This year, we had 52 high school graduates, 100% of them. They had all been accepted to 2 or 4 year colleges. They'd been with us, Rich, an average of 6.9 years. That's 5 to 12 hours a week, learning to make music together instead of getting into trouble. And three of those of our graduates this year, in their exit interviews, told us how they had left their gang affiliation to focus on music and Harmony Project. One of them, one of those three, came from a multi-generation gang family, and he told us that if it hadn't been for Harmony Project, right now he would either be dead or in prison for the rest of his life because he has family members and friends who are both. Mm. But instead, he's going to college.
That's great. That's really great. How did you set this up? I mean, you set it up as a after-school activity, and you based it on La Sistema, which is comes from Venezuela, but it's really not the
but
same
no,
thing.
No. I didn't know anything about El Sistema when I started this. I'm a doctor of public health. I dove into the research literature, and I found that music training was linked to improvements in math, language, cognition, brain development, and behavior. And I wanted to figure out a way to capture those benefits for under-resourced kids. So what Harmony Project is it's a multi-year mentoring program. It's not a music program. It's a multi-year mentoring program for high-need kids that uses music as a means of positive development, social inclusion, and community safety.
And that was the focus, the mentoring part of it.
Yes, absolutely. And as our kids advance, we train them to mentor their less advanced peers. So at the same time, we're creating service learning is integrated into everything that we do. We're creating these compassionate young people. But here's the thing. You know, I got into this for the positive habits of mind, discipline, persistence, confidence, accountability. If you think about it, a youth orchestra or a band is a perfect metaphor for community. They only work if the members show up at rehearsals, if they come prepared, if they listen carefully to one another, if they learn when to solo or improvise and when to blend in, and if they can work effectively across cultural and ethnic divides. But we achieved all those things, but then we achieved something more. And this is what blew my mind. We were watching these kids morph into these articulate, self-possessed young adults who were attending colleges, not any colleges, Dartmouth, Tulane, NYU, USC, UC Berkeley, hard to get into schools. And they were studying things like genetics and neuroscience and civil engineering, mechanical engineering, biological engineering. What was going on? These were kids from the highest crime neighborhoods whose parents were marginally educated. And it made no sense, Rich. Absolutely made no sense. It was way more than our social science could explain. So I bothered a lot of people and eventually found myself speaking with the head of child health and human development at the National Institutes of Health. And she introduced me to the head of the Auditory Neuroscience Lab at Northwestern University, Dr. Nina Kraus. And we had the great good fortune of being able to participate in a research project with Dr. Kraus, which answered some of our questions about what was extraordinary and what was extraordinarily different about what we were doing in terms of its impact on our students.
Now this is 5 to 12 hours a week the kids are spending
Absolutely.
In music. So what changes did that make in how they're, and we're talking neuroscience, we're talking brain functioning.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. The Kraus Lab published an article on the 30th of October in 2013, in which they identified a neurologic profile of poverty in kids, specific cognitive functions that were significantly reduced in high-poverty kids relative to their more advantaged peers. And those deficits impact the capacity of those children to learn. One of them has to do with the way the brain captures sound. And the lab found that the brains of high-poverty kids tended to distort incoming sound in a random way so that if a child from a high-poverty family hears the same thing five times, they may have heard their brain may have captured five different things. But educators, the education field, hasn't been aware of that. It's almost like discovering that 30 to 40% of the kids in the country could never see the board, but nobody ever knew.
And nobody checked them for glasses
well,
or something
right. Like that. Right. But instead of being able to just, you know, plop glasses on a child's face and enable them to see the board, kids' brains are plastic and kids can tune up their own brains, but it takes years of focused work on the part of that child to make that happen. It turns out that that's exactly what's happening when kids are studying music intensively in our program. It took a program like Harmony Project, which now has 2,000 kids working 5 to 12 hours a week, year-round, tuition-free for multiple years. The average length of participation of our high school grads this year was 6.9 years. Mm-hmm. So that's an intense level of commitment. But the payoff, oh my word, the payoff is so stunning because we've had two Fulbright scholars. And we're only 14 years old, and we started with little kids. Right. So, I mean, they've got to get through college in order to apply for a Fulbright. So it's crazy. I mean, we've got, I think, three or four people studying neuroscience right now, a civil engineer, Latina. I just love it.
Now, when you tested the kids in the program, what did you find about this brain-capturing sound? Was it improved?
The children's brains were becoming incrementally more, significantly more precise in the way they captured sound. And it's the precision that is so critical. And I think that's why we're seeing more than a third of our students going into science, technology, engineering, and math careers because they've gotten used to being very, very precise. If you think about it, we tolerate all kinds of randomness in speech and in sound. In terms of speaking, people can have all kinds of different accents and so on and so forth. But if the pitch is off a quarter of a tone or the rhythm is not quite right, it messes music all up. So music requires a level of specificity that nothing else does. Think about it. Can you come up with anything else that a 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8-year-old will be doing that requires that level of precision. It's really a tight level of precision. And what we've come to find out and what I've come to learn is that the brains of musicians are very different from the brains of non-musicians. They've got more gray matter, more white matter. They're a larger cerebellar volume. And what does that mean? Well, it means that musicians enjoy cognitive enhancements that endure throughout the lifespan. Even if they stop playing music, the brain structure has been changed and it advantages that person for their entire life. But the first place it advantages them is in the classroom. So we've got teachers beating their heads against the wall trying to figure out how to educate high-poverty kids. And we've got a 50% dropout rate in our 50 largest cities. And 70% of crimes are committed by kids that didn't finish high school. Yet here we are in L.A.'s gang zones, 2,000 kids, more than 500 on a waiting list, working hard in their own time after school and on Saturdays, learning how to make music together instead of getting into trouble. This is what every community needs. And the side effect is, oh, they learn to focus. We have a finding that was just published that documents, using biologic data, the improvement in our kids' ability to focus. And Rich, this is from a country that's spending $7 billion a year on drugs to help kids focus and learn. So, and there's a slippery slope to that because we don't want our kids to think that they need to be on some kind of pharmaceutical in order to function. With music education, you don't stress the liver, and you're building resilient, responsible people.
Now, I know part of your mission from the very beginning with the Harmony Project was to have testing as a focal point of this program to see if it works. And you've talked about the neuroscience aspects, but has it filtered into the classroom? It's obviously with most of your graduates going to college, that's probably one term. But for the average kid that gets into this program for maybe 1 or 2 years, do they see a difference in their schoolwork?
Most of the findings didn't begin to reach significance until 2 years at 5 to 12 hours a week. But we commit to our students for their entire childhood. And like I say, the average length of participation of the class of 2015 was 6.9 years. That's average. So, I mean, we've got kids for 10 years in the program, which is really lovely. Absolutely. Reading is one of the first things that improves. A powerful linear relationship has been discovered between the ability to synchronize to a beat, to clap to a beat, and language development and the ability to read. It's such a strong relationship that the quick and dirty test for dyslexia or poor readers is put on some music with a strong beat and have everybody have a big group of kids clap and step to the beat. And the kids who are stepping off, who are not clapping to the beat, those are the ones who are going to be more neurologically disorganized, and they're going to be struggling with to read. But here's the thing, Rich. It's trainable. And as you train a child to be able to synchronize to a beat, their brain changes, the structure of the brain changes, and the function of the brain changes, and they begin, and reading and language development become easier for them in lockstep. It's just a beautiful thing.
You would think if you can read music, you should be able to read words, because it's the same process.
Well, that's what I tell our kids. I say, you know, how many letters are there in the alphabet? They say 26. I say, well, music only goes up to G. How hard can it be? But the other thing about music is, Rich, it's rewarding. And our kids live in high-stress situations, a lot of them high-stress family situations and community situations. And as they grow, they all tell us that when they've had a hard day, when they've dealt with difficult things, when they're stressed out, they take out their instrument and they play. That's a non-pharmacologic mood elevation device. And those kids are responsible for their own mood. Now, think about that. Kids that are responsible for their own mood and they know what to do. They've got something they can do to elevate their mood and the moods of other people around them when they're feeling blue. Well, excuse me, you know, juvenile depression, suicide, we're not seeing that.
Yeah. My guest today is Margaret Martin. She's the Director of Advocacy and Research, but also the founder of Harmony Project. Harmony Project Tulsa is just celebrating its first anniversary at Kendall Whittier Elementary School with the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra over the first year, but now the plan is to separate into a separate 501c3.
That's right. We're in California. We're working with a number of communities that are using Harmony Project as a school and community safety initiative with support from the law enforcement community, including the sheriff of Los Angeles County. This is something that has been shown to close the achievement gap between disadvantaged kids and their more advantaged peers, but it also improves school climate and community safety.
Now, let me ask you, out in Los Angeles, where you've had this program going for a while, school administrators are obviously seeing the results. There are 2,000 kids in the program. There are 500 on a waiting list.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't the schools themselves maybe looking at implementing some version into the school system?
We are. It's a process, Rich. We're recovering from the recession like many people. I mean, the Los Angeles Unified School District saw budget cuts of over $1 billion, second largest school district in the country. So we're coming back. We do partner with Los Angeles Unified School District. Matter of fact, Harmony Project is in one underperforming elementary school right now. It's in the lowest quartile in terms of performance index, but the principal has seen such a remarkable transformation in the students that are enrolled in Harmony Project at that school that principal is currently lobbying the school district to make his elementary school, it would be the first and only music magnet elementary school. Normally, they'll have a high school that'll be a magnet or maybe a middle school, but not an elementary school. But he wants all the kids to do music because the transformation in terms of behavior and in terms of academic impact is so profound.
Yeah, and it sounds like when you're starting with these little kids, like first grade, are you starting, what, about first or second grade?
Absolutely.
And it would be, what, strings and rhythmic studies and things like that?
Well, you begin with musicianship, and then we move on to strings or winds. There are a couple of companies that make smaller wind instruments that are really lightweight for little kids. So you can actually start a six-year-old on a trombone now, which is very exciting. But Harmony Project now has affiliated programs in 7 states, and more are developing throughout the country. It's very exciting to see. And in every high-need community where we build these programs, the kids just thrive. Remember that old saying, what if somebody threw a war and nobody came? Well, a lot of times people come up with interventions and nobody comes. But when you put a Harmony Project there, in a minute, you've just got a massive waiting list.
Now, and in Los Angeles, there's no doubting that success. Because and it's a very interesting system because you'll have school sites or community sites,
uh-huh,
and then those community sites gather together to create complete orchestras.
Absolutely.
And so there are regional orchestras all around Los Angeles that usually meet one on Saturdays, on the weekend.
On Saturdays for a three-hour rehearsal. If you think about it, a three-hour rehearsal is 3 hours of kids and teenagers listening carefully to one another. When does that ever happen? I mean, and that's the thing. Kids that spend that much time learning to make music together become hardwired at finding ways to agree rather than promoting conflict. And I promise you, if members of Congress in Washington, D.C. had grown up making music together in Harmony Project, we'd have a far more functional federal government.
Well, let me ask you about the satellite sites like Tulsa, like East St. Louis, like New Orleans and some other communities. Have you seen that sort of success in other cities yet?
Well, many of them are new, but we're seeing the same trajectory, the same kind of passionate adherence to the model. Families that are struggling, they need help. It does take a village. And so you've got hardworking parents that may be working a couple of jobs. They're earning so little, they don't have time to raise their kids. So you need to step in and create the structures that are going to help ensure a positive future for those children.
And the idea of an instrument, and the idea of an instrument into that household that's out of reach financially.
It would be completely out of reach, and our high school graduates tell us this. They say they've watched their families struggle, and they knew that their music lessons were always going to be there for them. You know, I had one of my favorite things to do is to host site visits and take visitors around and just to see what we do. And I'd love to have them meet with our peer mentors because they're just such impressive young people. And I was looking for the peer mentors at one site visit. I wasn't finding them, but I saw this tall teenager, and I knew he'd grown up with Harmony Project, within Harmony Project. I'd seen him around. I'd never spoken with him. Didn't know his name. I said, "Are you a peer mentor?" He said, "Oh, no, I'm a mentee." I said, "Well, will you speak to my guests?" And he said, "Sure." I said, "Just tell them about Harmony Project. Tell them what it's like, you know, from your point of view." First thing out of his mouth, top of mind, he didn't even take a beat. He just laughed. He said, "Oh, Harmony Project is where you go to get rid of all the stress in your life." I just started to cry. When I was 15, I didn't have a place like that. Most teenagers don't. But what the other thing that Harmony Project gives kids is it gives them a positive network of social support for their entire childhood. Now, that positive network is anchored by our teaching artist mentors, the professional musicians that work with the kids. But 95% of that positive network is made up of the kids themselves. So we're literally training kids in what it takes to make a functional community. And they all call Harmony Project their second family. And for some of them, it's the most functional family they have.
And so at school, on the way home from school, on the way to school, they become sort of a network of kids from a variety of neighborhoods?
Well, absolutely. They meet together, but they meet with the same kids for their entire childhood. Mm-hmm. So they're making music, and it's not just classical music. It's jazz, it's funk, it's rock, it's mariachi, it's it's everything. Movie themes is a really huge winner for us.
Yeah, right.
You know, Harry Potter themes or Star Wars or action-adventure themes. The kids love being able to pick up their instrument and sit down with one another and play movie themes. And a number of our kids, by middle school, they're gigging. They're playing private parties, and they're playing at church and so forth. And they're making money.
But it sounds also like you have a tremendous support network to make this happen. And that's probably the hardest part for a community to start something like this, because you're talking instruments, you're talking ongoing support, and it takes time to see results.
Well, it's about, you see the results
in a couple years.
Pretty quickly. In terms of the kids' behavior, this goes rather quickly, but you're right. This is something that an entire community needs to come together around. You need the support of law enforcement. You need the support of the housing authority. You need the support of the school district. And now that we've got 8 published peer review articles describing the improvement in brain function through our collaboration with Northwestern, we're a research-based intervention that closes the achievement gap, which means that Title I funds can be allocated by schools. But we need to bring we just need to educate the members of the community about how powerful an intervention this is. It's not, the data is too stunning. We're not trying to make the next generation of musicians. And matter of fact, most of our students don't end up majoring in music. More than a third end up majoring in science, technology, engineering, and math.
That's really interesting, because you know the difference between that and El Sistema is thought as like producing musicians, and you might produce some musicians.
We do produce some professional musicians, yes.
Yeah, but most of them go off and get an education in another field.
We're interested in producing wonderful human beings, responsible, disciplined human beings, and Harmony Project creates the structure that enables that to occur, and the structure that enables high poverty kids to tune up their own brains. And once that happens, Rich, they learn on par with their more advantaged peers and just take off.
Let me ask you, have you done any research on how a child in Harmony Project affects their family unit?
Well, we think of our students as being role models for at least 10 other people, including the members of their own family. One of the first things that happens when a child enrolls in Harmony Project, the parents have to go through an orientation, and they've got to sign contracts that they're going to provide a quiet, uninterrupted space and so forth. But it shifts the dynamics at the household level in terms of the use of time and space. So instead of warehousing a kid in front of
a television or video game.
Right, you have media off and the child is practicing. And so it changes the dynamics at the household level in favor of the child, which is a remarkable thing, and the kids learn that you can't learn to play if you only practice once or twice a week. You've got to practice every day, and once they learn that, those habits of mind generalize over to their schoolwork. The same thing about learning a difficult piece of music. They'll talk about, well, you know, I had to learn the symphony movement and it was really complex. So I took it piece by piece and they develop strategies for how to learn. And those are the same strategies that they learn to study math or science or right. anything else. And they're really thriving. Can you imagine two Fulbright scholars?
Yeah, that's great. And it sounds like the one thing I wonder about is, you know, you're serving 2,000 kids uh-huh. in Los Angeles, a huge school district. You could probably, I mean.
We need to be serving 20,000. We need to be serving 20,000. But Rich, our neuroscience research just came out in the last 10 months. It's just been published in the last 10 months. So this stuff is really new. I've only just begun to do brief school board members and law enforcement personnel and housing authority people, because any place that you have where you need youth development activities, where kids might be getting into trouble, well, build a band, build an orchestra. It's really so joyful. Matter of fact, one of the things we hope to do in Los Angeles is identify police officers who are musicians that we can train to help coach sectionals on Saturday rehearsals. They're never going to be the principal instructor. But in terms of community policing.
Yeah, it breaks down those barriers between the community and
no
police.
No kidding, no right. kidding. Making beautiful music together. It's yeah. a wonderful thing.
Well, we wish you success with Harmony Project, both in Los Angeles and here in Tulsa.
I have to say, the people that are managing Harmony Project in Tulsa are absolutely fantastic, master teachers. It's terribly exciting to see what they're doing.
All right.
And it's in very good hands.
And so what's the timeline for actually creating this separate 501c3?
Well, it's happening as we speak. We're in process. So we're seeking additional funding and additional board members right now.
And I assume it's going to continue at Kendall Whittier until that program is sort of fully running and then maybe moving beyond that area?
Yes.
It depends on the community support.
What I understand, the plans are to branch out into the underperforming schools throughout the region, and as we continue to do in Los Angeles.
All right. Well, Margaret Martin, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Margaret Martin is the founder of Harmony Project and its director of advocacy and research. She's currently visiting Tulsa to visit the spin-off independent organization, Harmony Project Tulsa, which is celebrating its first anniversary in the Kendall Whittier neighborhood. You can learn more at harmonyproject.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.